Welcome to the RR Podcast. We bring you the latest in Tokyo news, in-depth discussions, and everything else that you could ask for, all with a healthy dose of insanity. So here are your hosts, Shugun Shinobi, Dawson Rider, Jedimon, and Aerosol. Riders, Rangers, and Rambles, Season 5. Ready? Go!
Hello, welcome to our Season 5, Episode 25.
Guess who's back? Back again. Get it?
I called it.
Did you? Really? Well, I was going to do... I couldn't remember if we already did Rack to Action or Rack in the Saddle. So I was like, if it sounds too familiar, don't go for it.
Rack in the Saddle is too close to Zack in the Saddle. And remember correctly, we have used...
Rack to Action?
Rack to Action, I think.
When the hell did he die and come back again? Oh yeah, he's a robot.
When you were doing Megaforce.
I forgot. Look, it's been a long time.
It was so long ago.
It was. But, yeah. And I was leaning too heavily on the drive wild and puns, and so I have to hold off.
I didn't catch it right away, because I thought you were saying rack, and not rack. I'm like, what does that have anything to do with what we watched this week?
Maybe not what you watched this week.
Okay. One-ups. I guess I have to see what we're doing.
Yeah.
And now I'm checking my phone for Hall's pictures because I don't remember what happened this week. Oh, Megazords are attacking. We're done.
Crap, we gotta go, guys. Sorry. Podcast cut short this week. You know, when those Megazordos arrive.
Did that happen? Yeah, it did. That did happen this week. Right after we recorded the podcast in which I told Kevin I couldn't find Tiger Claw, I found Tiger Claw. And I went to a Walmart, and they had the Red Alien Ranger, and it infuriated me. Like, it was just the most mind-numbing thing to find one figure of the wave you're looking for, and nothing else. They even checked
in Jungle Fury.
They even check the back, and they're like, we only have, it shows five, and what was on the shelf was Alien Red and then four Troys. So...
I thought you just really hated Oriko.
No, he's cool.
I hate that Oriko.
I hate that guy. He's all blub blub and shit.
You racist.
For real though, my figure like is awful. Like is yours that bad or?
None of mine from that way that I recall really had any loose leg problems, or at least nothing that was like super noticeable.
Of course, I just got the fucking dud.
Pretty much, I told you, just dehydrated. Just pour water on him. Like in the review, just start pouring water on him and tell people that'll help fix it. I bet someone will believe it.
I also got the Legacy White Ranger and then Skids from Transformers Generations. Because I'm reading the comics and he's featured heavily in the comics and I'm like, I need him. And then day before yesterday, something like that, I found the Legacy Green Ranger, so now I have all the Wave 1 Legacy things. So I can do a review on those soon. I dig the fact that they're down to $12.99.
I bought them when they were full price.
Like, I was refusing to buy them at $19.99, and then they dropped to $14.99 before I ever even seen them here. And so I was like, well, they're okay at $14.99. And then I go to pick up white and green, and Toys R Us is like $12.99. I'm like, well, okay.
Yeah, they disappeared for a good long while.
Yes, yeah, so I still need to find the other four, but... most places haven't got them yet. So.
Yeah, there was like a couple places that got them like a long time ago, and then no one's gotten them. I'm hoping that once everyone sells out the rest of the restock of this wave, they'll get the next one in.
Hopefully. I got some Angry Bird Transformer toys just because they were on sale. That was a thing. And then I bought Fantasy Life. And it's,
oh, I got it. I got it too.
It's really fun.
I got it.
Is it worth it?
I got it at approximately 3:45 on Monday afternoon. Start playing it at 3:50 and stop playing it at around 9:45 that same day.
So you're saying is it is worth it?
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot.
I haven't had a chance to dive too far into it, but it's really fun. Like,
because I was hearing mixed things about it, so I wasn't sure whether I was going to get it or not.
It's like this wonderful mix between like Animal Crossing and like an adventure game, and it's really cool.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say it was funny. I remember you tweeted something about you had a dream that a box got there. And I was going to make a joke about how it must have been a dream about Fantasy Life getting there. And it was your Fantasy Life that you received Fantasy Life. It was going to be super meta. But then I forgot to tweet it. And now we're here.
Yeah, the game, I've spent a really long time in game already. And I've only barely scratched half of the lives you can have.
Half-life reconfirmed.
Brian and I were talking about it on Twitter today, and you were talking about being a hunter and going out and adventuring, and I was sitting there being like, oh man, I should probably stop sewing and go out and kill something. Because I've spent so much time messing around with alchemy and sewing and mining and all of this other stuff that I kind of put off actually fighting things for a long time.
I only saw a tidbit of your conversation, and the only part I saw was Brian was excited about a dog or something. You know how Brian does it. And Aerosol said I've actually been putting off getting a dog. It sounded like you were talking about a real life decision. I'm going to put it off till I'm more mature. I don't think I'm ready for that kind of commitment yet. Enjoy my youth.
I picked Hunter right off the bat because I wanted to shoot things with a bow.
Because you're Katniss.
Yeah, Katniss, bitch. And so the intro to selecting that life has you just totally shoving it in the face of this other guy that you're a better archer than him. And you get paired up with this old lady's dog because she's he's a good hunting dog, you can take him, so you can kick my grandson's ass. And so I'm oh cool, I got a dog on my team. And so we went and fought, and the dog was beating shit up for me. I'm I want a dog. And in the game, when you do certain things, you get bliss points. And one of the bliss rewards was a pet, the ability to have a pet. And I'm click. I didn't even look at the other ones. I just saw the picture of a dog's head. I was oh, this one. And then it took me about 15 minutes because I started looking in the opposite direction, but I had to go around the entire town looking for who sold dogs. Who's got dogs? I went in several buildings. No one had dogs. It was in a completely separate part of town. Needless to say, I finally found it, and Anubis is now my best friend.
You should play Fable. One of the best parts is having a dog companion.
I like that all of the all of the tutorial missions for each of the lives are on a structural level, they're all the same, because it's just okay, go out and do this job for this person, yada yada yada. But they each have their own little stories to them. The alchemy guy is just obsessed with blowing things up, because that's the only reason he got into alchemy is because he can make bombs. And it's just he gives you a task to do, and you go out and you make him five potions, and you come back and he's well, this is pretty good, but can't really blow anything up with it, so I guess you pass, whatever. And the mining instructor, his whole tutorial mission centers around him possibly having an affair on his wife. What is this? I just wanted to mine.
Miners, not miners.
Needless to say, the game's really good. I do urge you to check it out. I like a lot of things Level 5 does lately. Like, they're just really awesome people.
Oh, I love everything Level 5. Like, the only game that they've made that I've kind of not been a fan of is White Knight Chronicles, and that's just because it's kind of boring.
I didn't get a chance to play that. I thought about it several times when I first got in my PlayStation, and I'm like, I like knights, they're cool.
But I don't like white people, so
I
was just like...
I like knights. I'm white. Chronicles was a cool part of Pokemon. Let's do this.
Chronicles is a really cool word. I should play that game.
But yeah, that's about it at Halloween party this weekend. That was really fun. I cranked out my Captain Toad outfit and...
You and your family and cranking, man.
cranking
since 2010.
Yeah, that's it.
I don't really have anything. I never bought anything, found anything, accomplished anything. I've spent the majority of this week just watching the Buffy Halloween marathon that's been on, and that'll probably be the rest of my week. So, turn in.
I got Fantasy Life, so...
Really? Tell us more about that.
That's been my week, so... I also made popcorn balls with my family. That was fun. I mean, that's basically what I've been, like, living off of now, is just eating a bunch of popcorn balls.
I was ready to send a super worried message, but then I realized that the picture you had included did have a proper candy thermometer, so I was like, all right, he's cool. I was worried he didn't have a proper candy thermometer. I'm like, well, can't be doing dangerous stuff like that without a proper candy thermometer. I don't know why I'm talking about that. Because I saw the picture, I'm like, oh, look, candy thermometer. Why do I know what that is?
So, I guess, moving on to news, the only thing I really know that we have is just more Type Wild scans.
I still think he looks cool. This just in.
And, yeah, Dawson hit it. He does still look cool. And, like, seeing the actual physical suit, I like it a lot more.
Yeah.
It's neat. Like, I like the concept of the tire moving to the shoulder instead of on the stomach.
It's so badass.
I don't know where...
Not the tire shoulder thing, it's the overall thing.
I don't know where Techniques is going to be. Because I was looking at the silhouette, and I'm like, I don't see where it is exactly.
What's the one, like, the silhouette where he's got, like, the giant hat that rice farmers wear?
That's Fruits.
That's Fruit.
Oh, no wonder.
He's got an orange slice hat on his head.
That's dumb. Is it a sombrero?
But I like how different it is from Speed. Like, it almost could be a different rider, I think.
It's kind of like the O's forms.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I liked a lot about O's, was how different some of them ended up looking. But it's neat, and they showed off some of the other shift cars we got.
They showed off Mad Doctor, which just turns him into a nurse.
I thought it was just going to turn him into 12.
Well, you know, that could be a sonic screwdriver, just a really weird looking one. They showed off the most amazing shift car in the world, Rumble Dump. So he's got that going on for him.
That is by far my favorite name of anything ever. This guy's name is Rumble Dump. let me tell you, that is the story of my life.
Which, I mean, you would expect from a name like that, it would be like dump truck power or whatever, but yeah, he just gets a drill. Like, whatever, okay.
We got the rumble part right, but I don't think you're dumping much. Like, it's weird because the shift car itself, I believe, is a dump truck. But then it gives him a drill. I'm like, there's not even a drill on this vehicle. What are you doing? And then we also got fucking Wrecker. For those of you that are really concerned about that, when the Gashapon listings came out, when we found out that Hooking Wrecker was going to be a shift car, they had the kana off a little bit, and it was, instead of fu, it was fa. And so it became fucking Wrecker. And so this blog was like, we're going to have a shift car named fucking Wrecker. And that became a thing until they realized that it was Foot King, which isn't any better, but it's hooking. At Japan, this is what happens when you use F's and H's for, like, the same thing. But that one's kind of neat. It's basically the wench. Winch, whatever the fuck it was called.
You're a wench.
Winch, what we called wench because we're awful people. Basically, he gets medical drill in winch.
I'm sorry, it's just that a wench is, it's a prostitute, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, that kind of lends to what we originally thought the name was.
Classic
the,
hookers.
The fucking Wrecker gives him a wench.
He has to give his enemy syphilis. It's the only way to go. Like, every different shot is a different venereal disease that just like, it doesn't kill the enemy right away, but, like, if it festers.
I got that little plush chlamydia I got from the nerd block. I can
the final attack is AIDS. It's like the finisher. It's terrible.
Chaser is also using the Bat Cobra and Spider Chaser vital cores. He gets special ones because he's special. With this wrist thing of some sort, I don't know because we don't really see it. But the weapon transforms into a bow for Bat, a claw for Spider, and a whip for Cobra. So that's kind of cool. I dig Chaser. He's neat. Wow, Midnight Shadow's tire looks really weird in person. What else? I think that's about it for Drive. Tokyo Drive obviously doesn't really have a whole lot since we're gearing down toward the end of the show, but there was one tiny picture from Tokyo Drive vs. Kyoryuger, which was properly announced. Not that
what?
It was
there's going to be a Versus movie?
Holy gasp!
What? This has never happened before. I can't believe it. Let's report it like it's big news.
What is this nonsense? Team-ups? What are those things?
I love how the article I was reading from a site I will not mention specifically went out of their way to mention the haircut. It just seems, I don't know, like, we can see the picture. You don't need to mention his hairstyle. Are you that, like, news? That sentence did not come out right.
It didn't really come out at
but
all.
Yeah, we got a Versus movie, so that's fun, I guess. I mean, hopefully it turns out fun, better than the last one.
Last one was terrible. They should just bring in a more plots about Dino Hope into this one and just make it really stupid and nonsensical. Let's put Go-Go 5 in it because they have trains in it, so they have to be in it.
Got it. Sounds like a win in my book. But yeah, I think that's it. I can also take a moment to appreciate just how fucking awesome the complete selection modification Deca Driver is. That it's an amazing piece of stuff.
That's going to be on the box as like one of the review recommendations. It's an amazing piece of stuff. Shukun Shinobi. Except because you said that in October, it's going to say Spookun Shinobi on it. Then people will never be able to find you later.
I'm fine with that. Just in case it turns out to be crap somehow. They won't find the real me. yawning. But yeah, that's it. It's been a pretty slow day.
Slow news day.
Waiting on the army to stock Kuga. So I can play a Kuga.
Just thinking if, you know, like, what, a few months, a month, I don't know. I don't know timelines. We'll be looking at pictures of some ninnies.
Yeah, that usually happens at the end of December, so we're not too far.
Yeah. It almost always happens on the exact same episode of the podcast, too. Every year.
It's definitely
it's just that weird
Christmas.
Yellow picture of five random people.
Because I remember looking at, like, Twitter all day long going out Christmas shopping when that happened, because it was like that classic community scene of walking in and the room's on fire when the picture was unveiled. Because you wake up and you know how the Tokyo Drift suits look, and like everyone's like freaking out, cutting themselves, bashing into walls. I'm like, all right, what is it? And then I look at it, I'm like, oh, I get it. I see what happened here.
The backlash at Tokyo Drift was like an amazing thing. It was just like a community-wide what?
Like, it was one of the times where, like, every year we get the worst/best rider Sentai ever, people quitting or, recommitting to it. But, like, Tokyo was, like, extra hate, but I totally got it. Because it's, like, when you first see him, they look fake. Like, they do. It's, like, I definitely got it. Killed the room. Killed the room. Apparently everyone's like super like defensive about the Tokyo Drift suits now.
No, I mean I agree. I'm still not a huge fan of the suits, even though we've had them for 30 some weeks now. But I mean, this stuff, I mean, it's always going to happen every single year. I mean, I remember the Kyoryuger stuff was infamous. I mean, the whole two Blue Rangers thing. It always happens. Someone, I don't know where they got it, but the mock image for the Ninjas. I honestly, I'm surprised. Did we get one of those last year for Tokyuger?
I don't remember one.
I don't remember seeing one because I think I vaguely remember people going, "We usually see a sketch or something."
The last one I remember was that Gokaidra one that looked sort of like a Gokai Red if he had Down syndrome.
I don't remember any others. Had like a black design that was the dinosaur they were representing, and red kind of looked like a Brachio, but it's hard to tell with those things because they're always drawn in a style that's pretty easy to replicate, and it's like never actually someone from Toei. It's usually just I got to see their production sketches and they look like this. And so sometimes elements do cross over. Like the Gokaidra one was a fair amount close to what we ended up getting.
I like to imagine that some of them might have been like prototypes, like they went through different designs.
Yeah.
Or sometimes when you see something, and then, like, your mind kind of imagines it differently later if you're not able to refresh your memory with a picture.
Uh-huh.
Like, that happened to me all the time. I'm an idiot.
The ones for Ghost Sager look like a mix between the Jungle Fury Master Suits and Zio.
Yeah.
They're weird.
Yeah, and in some of those, you can kind of see elements of what eventually became the suit. The Ghost Sager ones, I mean, the belt kind of looks like wing-like, but that's about it. It's really off. And then if you've ever seen the freaking Go Busters one, it just looks awful. It looks nothing like the suit we eventually got.
It looks like a really awful Showa suit. Like, it's just really gaudy.
It just looks like off-brand Sentai.
Yeah. But regarding the one that came out for Ninja, I think if the end suit looks anything remotely like that, I really dig it. The helmet's...
It looks like a henchman with that helmet.
The helmet would take a little bit to get used to. I don't mind the concept of, like, a shuriken design on the helmet, because I'm sure Kenta did that already, and it looked fine. But the way that this one was designed, just like the silver, it looked kind of more like a little star, because it didn't look fully like a shuriken to me. Just like in the middle of their face was a little bit off-putting, but like the base design of the suit, I dug a lot. So,
like, if they were to go for that helmet design, I feel like they would all have to look different. Otherwise, they really are going to look like henchmen.
The ninjas aren't actually the main team.
This year we're focusing on the henchmen. That's why they're called the ninnies.
I think that's it. I completely forgot about the picture thing. Machinations is this weekend, so
figure arts Olaf confirmed.
There'll be some figure art news to talk about next week.
Sorry, I just spoiled it. There goes our whole discussion. We were going to frame our whole show next week on Olaf.
Figure arts Olaf.
It was the whole episode was going to be called "Do You Come Here Olaften?" Nope. There goes that title. Thanks, Obama.
All right.
I guess, yeah, we better move on to superhero time. I'm sorry you're not getting a funny voice out of Kevin this week, but he's currently gone.
We're
in the process of bringing him back.
We
Crossroads
can't
Demon
have
deal.
Kevin and Dossum in the same podcast at the same time. The world just breaks.
But you're Spanner, admit it. I run out of the room, Kevin comes back. Is this the way it is?
Okay, so this week we had Tokyo Drift 34. And Brian, when you started talking to us on Skype, you did not seem that joyous.
I don't
about
even
this
know
episode.
What the fuck this was.
What do you think?
It was classic Tokyo filler. Like, it was completely nonsensical, and Akira and the guy and the kissing and the weird and oh.
Yeah, Akira kissed the guy this episode. That was a thing. But yeah, the episode was basically just about Mio's love life again, and this guy who got really obsessed with her after he watched them save him, basically. And that's basically it. That's basically the whole premise of the episode. It's like, okay, hey, Akira, pretend to be my boyfriend. Let's go on a date so we can fool him into not bothering us anymore. And they kind of completely forgot about the villain, now that I think about it. He was kind of an afterthought.
Which is a shame, because I like this villain a lot.
He was so weird. Yeah, the translation for... I don't know if, like, how accurate that was. Obviously, I can't speak Japanese, but they translated a lot of it to, like, banging and stuff like that. And just given the premise of the episode, it sounded really off.
Wasn't the station called, like, Bang and Shove?
Yeah.
Something like that. And given the connotation that this episode was about love, I'm just sitting here going, did I read that right? What? But then,
well, not only that, he was... The monster's whole deal was that he was rolling people up into balls and then hitting them with his pool cue. He was essentially pulling a Gao Silver on them.
Never mind. I'm not gonna. I'm not even gonna.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it makes sense when you think about it from the billiards aspect, but... When you look at what this episode was about, you're kind of sitting here going, what?
Yeah.
Okay.
Got it. So, a little bit of an admission to you, Brian. I love this episode.
I can't say I hated it. Like, I'm just sitting here, my mind was melting.
It was so silly. I enjoyed myself. I actually did enjoy myself this week. But it is, like, you're right. It's completely filler. There is nothing in this episode that has anything to do with the plot of Tokyuger whatsoever. It's just total filler. Let's talk about Mio's love life again. But for whatever reason, her whole deal of how she's so adverse to any kind of romantic relationship that she's willing to actually physically harm the other person is still amusing to me. It's still really funny.
I was pretty sure he was going to die. This is where you're going to die, bro. Right here, because of Mio.
And then, of course, we pair her up with Akira, who's completely deadpan. You know, and all of his dialogue in this episode was like, "Ooh, I'm doing what now? Oh, yeah, okay." Basically, that's it. Like, they're like, we should take Mio and Akira out on a hot date to show the guy who's stalking her that she's actually got a boyfriend. And Akira is just like sitting on a bench, like, "I'm gonna do what? Yeah, okay." Like, just going along with it. And then, yeah, as we mentioned later on, he gets told to seal the deal with a kiss to really prove it to the stalker boy. And what Akira does in a completely emotionless deadpan face is grab the guy and like kiss him, basically. I could not stop laughing. I couldn't stop laughing, and it's all because of how Akira sold it. Is because he, like I said, his face is completely emotionless. It's just this like automaton bearing down on this poor little guy.
It made robot noises. Like, yeah. When he turned, it made a robot noise. I was like, "Oh, it's Robonite."
And it's just, it's, I don't know, there's something so amusing about seeing Akira lean in for a kiss.
And I think what got me the most was, like, the aftermath. Like, the guy is just, like, fucking infatuated with Akira now. Akira turned that guy gay.
Akira has the ability to awaken one's sexuality via via a kiss.
Let me tell you, ain't that the truth. it was the most mind-numbing what I've dealt with Tokyuger, and like I said, I can't say I hated it. I'm just sitting here going, this is what my week has amounted to. My week concluded with watching Akira kiss a guy.
And then of course we had, I mean, all throughout the episode, Takati is freaking out because, you know, Mio's on a date with Akira. And at the end, Takati gets so angry that when the villain of the week finally does show back up, Takati's just like steals the Hyper Resha from Wright, transforms, tackles the guy to the ground, and just starts beating him. just no weapons, no anything. He's just like punching him in the face over and over and over again before finally shooting him with a cannon. And it's so funny. Like, it's obviously done for comedic purpose, but at the same time, it's kind of a badass little moment for Takati.
I like when he just transforms into Tokyu Nigo, and Wright was like, "Hey, I was gonna," and he's like, "No," it just pushes him out of the way and charges forward. And I think it was Hikari just like, "Let's let him handle it."
I did like the little bit of all of them transforming, and they go to do their roll call. So it cuts to like the little CGI animation, you know, announcing their names. So it goes to announce Tokyu Ichigo, and then Mio and Akira just kind of like push past him through the scene. So it's just like, yeah, whatever, our names. Okay, let's fight.
Tokati's great. I really like Tokati a lot.
But yeah, it's next week does definitely look to be actual plot, because I guess the villains take over pretty much. But so I mean that could be interesting. Whenever Tokuger actually does manage to do something with its plot, it's actually not too bad. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this episode was complete filler, but it was. It was really funny. I enjoyed myself this week.
It was a lot better filler than the chicken wigs.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic only for the fact that someone actually approved that script. But yeah, it was certainly a time.
So next up, we have Drive. Yes, Brian. That is what a car does.
Brian, you realize you're now contractually obligated to do that every time I talk about Drive for the next, like, 50 weeks.
Oh, what have I done? It's time for Drive.
Just imagine how confused Kevin's going to be next week.
My tried-run noise. I said this on Twitter. There was something, I can't even really pinpoint it, but there was something about this episode that just really sold me on this entire show. Like, not that I was on the fence or anything beforehand, I was really enjoying it, but something about this episode just made me go, you know what, okay, I'm in, this is gonna be cool.
I'm going to get off this fence I'm not even on.
I'm not even on the fence. I got pushed over on the other side, bro. Like, what? That came out really... Ah, wow. That was a word. Or a phrase. Or a series of words. I don't know. Someone stop me.
I don't... Stop.
Okay.
Okay, there we go. Thanks. Is that how you stop people? I don't know. I've never had to stop someone before. I'm usually the one that needs stopping. Stop signs got that pretty down. They're pretty, you know, straightforward about it. Stop signs is a good thing for drive because of driving. Get it? This is a brilliant discussion. Stop.
I wasn't sure where you were going with that, and then you just kept going, and I didn't...
See?
It's like you were trying to stop Brian, but no one was there to stop you.
That sounds like a tagline for a movie. He was there to stop Brian, but no one was there to stop him. Dawson's Ramble is the movie. But yeah, the actual episode. I really did like it as well. I really liked this episode sort of, for lack of a better word, I guess, like solidifying the sort of partnership between him and the girl. I haven't learned her name yet. I really like the relationship between these people. I have no idea who they are. Shit, what's the main guy's name? Drive.
Shinosuke.
Yeah, Pinocchio.
Tomari, if you want to go for a shorter word.
You say Tomari, I say tomato. I really like that they sort of, like, solidified that partnership, and I like the whole fake out of, like, it seeming like she was getting fucked over again, but it was all part of the plan. And I feel like there was some sort of chase. Oh, yeah, he was being chased by Chase. And he's like, I see why this guy's named that. He's very good. It's every week this happens to me with Drive, well, that I'm here. But I always have stuff to say about the episode, and then I forget everything about the episode other than that I generally enjoyed it. Like, I can feel that feeling of enjoyment, but I can't remember any of the thoughts I had.
Brilliant.
I can tell you that Hush is a really good episode of Buffy.
I dig the shit out of Dream Vegas and Dimension Cab.
Oh, like, yeah, I was going to comment on how funny it is that there's, like, a character development episode for, like, Shift Cars. There's, like, a backstory.
I am Dream feeling Vegas emotion so much for emotion. These tiny little cars.
Dream Vegas was, like, rivaling the alpaca and how much emotion it was showing. Like, I could feel the alpaca's, like, sheer awe at the winged dragon of Ra.
Yeah, this episode was okay. I mean, I don't really have anything to say negatively about it. Something I did notice about the villains is that apparently they're aiming for a certain number of evolved Roid Mudes. Is that?
It's such a funny name.
Raymundos,
yeah. So basically, like, I don't know, I started seeing them as like this really monstrous version of Jehovah's Witness, I guess.
Do you have time to talk about Roy Mutes today?
But because I mean, I like it. They remind me a lot of the Grongi, because you kind of see them like a group of them hanging out. You see some of the villains maybe a week or so ahead of time, and they're just kind of intermingling among each other. And they seem to have their own set of rules going on, their own ways of going about, you know, evolving into whatever they need to evolve into. And it just seems like there's more going on that we aren't entirely clear on right now. The only difference being that they can actually, you know, speak Japanese as opposed to just speaking Grongi.
Gibberish. It's completely like way back to the whole dimension cap thing, but I just wanted to comment on. I forgot that I want to be like in the meeting where they're like, "Hey, what kind of powers would a cab have? Obviously, dimension travel. Like, what the hell? Like, it's a cab. Like, I don't know. Like, it's not that I don't like it. It's just that's such a funny power to give that.
It's
called dimension cab, but
yeah." It's a pretty unique power, too. At least for, like, a Kamen Rider power. You don't really see teleportation or, like, portals or stuff like that.
And hell, Vegas can use Payday, so it's like, fuck yeah, Meowth.
I dig how it's represented. Because, like, half of his body just falls off. And starts moving around the ground as his arm's waving around in the air.
It's essentially what you can do with the TK figure with when you just separate it. Like, oh, hey, it comes complete with Dream Vegas power, or Dimension Cab. Wonder what Dream Candy's power is going to be. What? No idea.
Joke in there I don't get.
When I got my driver, I was playing with Justice Hunter, and I shifted it, and it said Dream Candy. So...
That's not a thing.
It was a thing. I heard it, and it's real. You'll see, one day, he's going to turn into a lollipop, and I'm going to be like, ha, Dream Candy is a real thing. Hashtag Dream Candy. Starting a campaign now. I'm getting ahead of this thing.
Okay.
Let's see, what else? I didn't really get to talk last week since I was dead, but I really like Chaser a lot. I don't know what it is. Like, his suit is sort of, like, hodgepodgey and kind of ugly, but I kind of dig it. And the voice for his gun is really cool. It's a lot cooler than Drive's voice. It makes Drive's voice sound kind of goofy. I don't know. I just really like him. What else? I don't have much else.
Yeah, I like him too. I kind of like how this whole like Grim Reaper shtick he's got going on. It's neat. And... I even liked something he was talking about in this episode was how, you know, everyone calls him the Grim Reaper, but it's actually Drive who's killing off all of his brethren. He gives them a chance of being reborn. It's a neat way of looking at it.
Like a different perspective inside the mind of the villain.
The real Reaper here. Batman's.
Batman, right? It's like he said on the end, like a quote. That's what Batman said. It's pretty heroic. But in general, I've really been enjoying the show, and I think that it's done a good job of balancing the case of the week with the ongoing story so far, compared to some other shows where it just kind of slips into case of the week, and you don't really get much on the story. But right now, like, I have this really good, I think it's a really good mix where I feel like they're sort of existing simultaneously. Mm-hmm. And almost like the individual cases sort of mesh into the main ongoing story because it sort of touches upon what the other guys are working on. And, like, I've seen a lot of people complaining that they've slid back into it, and it's like we're too early to tell that it's gone back to the way, because I'm getting a completely different vibe from it than I've gotten from anything else. It's kind of weird. Like, it's got some similar elements, but I just get such a different vibe from it. It doesn't really feel like anything else, but yet there's, like, familiar elements.
It is really weird, because, like you said, there's a lot that is very reminiscent of Double through Wizard and even, like, Denno and Kiva and stuff. In that it's introduces a character, introduces the side characters, introduces the villains, here's what his powers do, look, buy our toys, hey, look, a new form's about to debut, buy more toys. And it's something that we're very used to. And then we have the whole two-part stories, and
it's getting ready.
And it's weird because it's very much like that, but at the same time, I don't know if it was just because we had a break from it or not, but it doesn't feel as forced, and I think it has a lot to do with how the story is being structured, because like you said, there's a continuous storyline going on within this two-part story, and even within the two-part story, you have chunks that are more or less self-contained. Because last week we had his assistant was like, oh, we captured the assistant, we defeated him, but we still got this big bad guy we gotta go fight. So despite being a two-part story arc, it was split into like two individual stories that were just connected, and I like the way that ends up like coming across.
Yeah.
So,
like, it's super early, so I mean, it could end up completely surprising us, or it could end up sliding back into that comfortable set. But like as it stands right now, I think it's got a really good mix, and it's got, like I said, it's got familiar things, but it's hard to like just put words on it. But it's like it gives me a completely different vibe than pretty much most of the other series, which is kind of what I want. Like, I don't want it to all series to follow the Double Through Wizard formula or follow Gaim's formula. I kind of want it to be like it was, where every series sort of feels different and follows its own little structure, other than having like a certain amount of toys that got introduced every year.
Yeah, we'll always have that.
We'll always have the toys.
Okay, I think that's it.
Yep, I don't have anything else.
Okie dokie. Because now it's time for Super Mega Force Summaries with Shuki. That was timed well.
It was amazing. Wonder if the Dino Charge toy that plays the theme song is going to be smothered like that. Wonder if there will be a Dino Charge toy that plays the theme song.
Probably not until same.
I don't know, because I was just thinking, like, I'm not going to have to play that for a while once we start Dino Charge. Okay, so, based on the episode title, we gathered that Vrak is back. Well, you were wrong. No, you're right. Just trying to make things interesting.
Vrak is back.
Yeah, he's Bach. He's back with booty. And I enjoyed this episode. I think this one and the next one are just going to end up being pretty good episodes, probably some of the better episodes of the season. And it's essentially like, say what you will about the show, but what other show gets to do two series finales in one season? So, because it's essentially the Ghost Sager finale. But it's been even longer since I've seen that, so I barely remember anything from it. So it's all coming off fresh to me, other than just knowing you know, that it's the finale, and like only certain scenes are familiar to me, like when they were using their cards, because I remember he's like, oh, I was an angel before, so haha, I could just use it with my orbs.
Energy orb. Pretty much. it's really weird. Like, for what it is, just looking at the scope of what it is a Super Mega Force episode pretty much consisting entirely of footage from Gosager instead of Gokaiger. And for all intents and purposes, it is a Mega Force episode.
Yeah.
And I like the way that they explained everything and incorporated everything that they needed to. There's a couple things that they kind of dropped the ball on a little bit, but
I think the only thing in the episode that bugged me is I really wish there was a little more explanation of how he's not a robot.
Yeah.
Like, I only pretended to be blown to bits. Like, ha, tricked you. Like, if he could have said, I've been, like, healing myself all this time, even something as simple as that, I could just imagine, well, maybe he had his healing factor, or he's got machines up in his thing that will heal him. I don't know. But just a quick one line would have done it.
Yeah, because Gosager had Bragilla, and he was all like, I was just using the cloaking powers and stuff, and I can turn in all these forms, and here Rock's just like, remember these guys, and he turns into his different forms. I'm like, how did you not become a robot? Like,
yeah, like,
how did you unrobot, bro?
And what's funny is he's like, this robot is my true form, but his first form, like, it looks really close to the design of Rack, where I was like, holy crap, or what's his name, the other one,
Vakar?
Where when they first announced that was happening, I'm like, holy crap, those suits really do look close together, and they look like they could be brothers. And then he's like, this is my true form. I'm like, bro, come on. Like, it could have been some sort of new form he achieved. But other than that, I thought all the elements in terms of him shutting off their other powers are handled well, because you could just assume, you know, he's been watching them, and he's like, oh, fuck, I don't want to go up against that.
Fuck that shit. But I like how they got around everything. They explained the lack of Orion because he was captured. And they made that an explanation on why he's able to control Robo Knight, because he harnessed the powers of the Six Rangers, and something about corruption. And they're like, oh, we stopped your legendary powers, so that's why we are not going to shoot any Gokaiger suits for this episode. And this is why you're using cards and ultra mode. And look, guys, remember Mega Force toys? So they did a nice way of kind of tying everything together. And I don't really have any complaints. Like, reactions were really weird, because I thought I remembered the fandom when the leaks were happening, going like, oh, this is awful, this is going to be stupid, fuck this. And then when the episode aired, everyone's like, oh, that was better than anything Super Mega Force has given us ever.
And oh, this fandom.
I'm like, make up your mind, guys.
Like, there's so many annoying jokes about, oh, they gotta go see Ultimate, why aren't they using it? I'm like, why don't you just go, like, kill yourself? But that's a bit of overreaction. But I hate, like, those jokes get kind of old. And I definitely get it, because they have a lot of Mega Force stuff just sitting there in the garage. But when you think about it, if you watch the other series, when they get the second mech that's, like, more powerful, they very rarely go back to the old Zords, unless, like, Power Rangers messes with the footage order. But, like, when you watch it straight through Sentai, or you watch even Power Rangers, when they actually more or less chronologically go in order, they very rarely go back to the inferior Zord.
Yeah.
Unless, like, it's something like the Turbo one, where their one Zord was taken, so they have to use it. I mean, it does happen, but even just mentally, it makes sense. If you have a more powerful tool, you're going to use it. I don't know why I use the word tool, but it's not really dirty. But, yeah, I mean, I definitely get where people's, you know, jokes about it come from, but it's like, if you understand the behind-the-scenes reasons, why aren't you shutting up about it? I don't remember what else I was going to say about that. Oh, the other only missed opportunity, which is just kind of a blanket thing, is that I really wish there would have been a scene with the two brothers. Like, it would have been awesome if they had just kept Rack throughout the whole season and had a sort of rivalry. Because there was that scene with his two unicorn guys, and he's like, you guys are generals that are loyal to me, so you just assume they're from the Armada. And they have that original base footage, and they have all the suits for the monsters they used. So they could have very easily not done stock footage from the Gar's ship and just filmed the one original scene of, like, Vrak with one of the generals they're using that week. And there could have been, like, an ongoing struggle between the two brothers, like, sending different generals that were loyal to each respective brother. And that could have been really cool. But it's just such a missed opportunity. Like, it was a really good idea. Like, the fact that their suits look so close together, like, hey, let's make them brothers. And
Super Mega Force in general is Power Rangers' missed opportunity.
Pretty much. But yeah, people care less about that and care more about the stupid changes, which really pisses me off. Well, I mean, there was missed story opportunities, but they didn't do the superficial changes. I'm just happy the Lightspeed didn't get a full change just because it makes people upset. Other people's misfortune makes me happy. Terrible person. But yeah, like, I think that was an overall missed opportunity, but even just one scene would have been nice. Yeah. But overall, other than that, those sort of blanket complaints, the episode itself was very enjoyable. I think that, like, between the Cars episodes last week and then this one, and then we're going to be leading into the battle, I think they have a really good setup for a good momentum leading into the finale.
Yeah, because I think right after this, we get Mavro coming in.
Yeah.
And then I think one other episode, and then the legendary battle, I think, if I remember correctly, this is episode, like, 16 or something.
Yeah, I think there's this one and then three other ones, so it's, like, pretty much all momentum from here.
I think we're in a stretch of some pretty solid episodes. And, I mean, since the shows came back, it hasn't been that bad. I've enjoyed pretty much everything that's aired since the hiatus ended, so... but no, I think it helps a lot. They brought in one of the main writers for Megaforce in to write these two episodes.
Well, that's good.
And I think that does help quite a bit, that despite the production changes and, like, everyone getting fired and shit or whatever the hell happened, that they brought him in to do these episodes, since he would know how Brock is supposed to act and what he would do in these situations and stuff.
Yeah.
So
it's a shame they didn't get to work it all the way through, because they had some good setup.
Yeah.
And a lot of really good ideas. And, like, the episode itself, like, if I was, like, a kid watching it, or watching it without any Sentai knowledge or any kind of spoiler knowledge, it would be, like, even better, I think, because just the way it was structured, I mean, it's with Robo Knight's mystery, like, at the very beginning of the show, and you're kind of wondering where he is, and then, you know, the show's been going for a while, and then you sort of almost, it's in the back of your mind, and then for him and Brack to just appear, I imagine it would be quite a surprise, or, you know, to someone who didn't know. I hate the burden of knowing everything. Like, I wish I could just enjoy it without all this extra knowledge between the leaks and then even just the Sentai knowledge, because I think it would be so much more enjoyable and surprising, like with regular TV. Kill the conversation again.
Part two is next week, so that's part two. Whoop, whoop. Brock is Bach again.
Next week's gonna be called Guess Who's Rock? Rock again, again. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Because now it's time for ramble time.
Yeah! I'm doing jazz hands and you can't even see it. I fell asleep during Pokemon, if there's anything interesting to talk about from it. I don't remember it.
There was, like, this relay race with stamps. It was stupid.
Relay race with stamps?
Like, they had to go station to station to get stamps.
Oh. Like, for some reason, I'm imagining them racing, but just constantly stamping the ground as they go. Or they're wearing stamp shoes. I don't know.
And Bonnie got lost and found Xerneas. Wait, that was the episode.
Okay, because like I turned it on, and then I fell asleep. Are they still going to be at the camp next week?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, good. I was worried I missed the camp.
I don't know how long the camp thing is, honestly.
I don't know. I can't remember a time they weren't there. No. They've always just existed at that camp.
I can't remember a time they weren't camping.
There's no turtles, right? For like a little bit. Is it back next week? Week after? I don't.
The 7th, I believe.
That's next week.
I think. I just answered an Ask FM question about this.
Yeah, it's next.
What
week.
Are you, Kiefer? Oh my God, what if Aerosol's been Kiefer?
I don't know. Someone asked me, so I answered him.
the seventh is next week.
It's back to 7th.
I wouldn't know. Like when it disappears, I just kind of like wander around aimlessly until Kiefer says something. This is so random. Speaking of random, Ben 10, which I was really mad I didn't get to rant about Kevin's origin last week again. I've only seen through the episode of the museum.
Don't watch today's.
Is it the Vrietal one?
Yes.
I knew it was coming because I saw. I looked ahead at the episode titles.
Yeah.
That's like. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say everything with the Vrietals is pointless.
Yeah, I hate the Vrietals. Like that's another thing that bothers me. Like I'm bothered that because Derek Wyatt didn't like Kevin's origin, he influenced it, so they changed it, and he likes the Vrietals, so that's why we've gotten numerous episodes with him. It's the same thing with Arjit.
We had another Arjit episode.
See, like, that's one of the influences. Is like, I don't mind a writer liking something, but he happens to like all these things I don't like. Like, I don't hate Arjit, but it's not like I desire to see focus episodes on him or see him be so important. And I really don't like the Vrietals. And, I hate things like that.
Was it the Arjit episode that they gave a little shot at the fact that Ben's not transforming into Jet Ray anymore?
Yes.
Because he was talking about how he really wanted to transform into Stinkfly. He's like, I'd even take Jet Ray at this point.
I don't know what was wrong with Jet Ray. I like Jet Ray. I'm not like, oh my god, Jet Ray, best alien ever. But
Jet Ray.
Oh my god. He's still like all bad. No, but
I think
like
the problem was just that Ben used him a lot.
Just doesn't seem like a reason to completely, you know, not include him. I mean, I kind of liked the bit they had at the very beginning of the show, sort of making fun of how often Ben used Humongousaur, and that he couldn't get Humongousaur, and then he finally got it, and he was so excited. I wouldn't mind them cutting back his use. I just kind of would like to see him a couple times, maybe see his design, if they were going to do anything with it. And I know they never. The only other two that haven't appeared were Chameleon, which was that same species as that lady that robbed the museum, which I really don't care that much. And then Fast Track, which I totally see why they wouldn't want to use him because he's essentially Accelerate. Like, there was nothing separating him. He was the same color and everything.
They've mentioned him several times.
Yeah, so I totally get that one. It seems kind of hypocritical to be like, oh, I don't like him, so don't use him. But Fast Track was so unoriginal, I get it. But, and I don't know, we have, like, the rest of this arc, and then there's, like, one more arc. So, and I haven't heard anything about seeing any of those aliens, but you never know, because back when he was answering questions, he said that they've talked about, like, retooling Fast Track. But I'd rather just get Jet Ray.
He's still answering questions on his Ask FM. Because I checked it, and there are people who've asked, like, if these aliens are going to show up, and for a few, he's just said, like, outright no. I think Jet Ray is pretty much a total no at this point.
Yeah. The closest we got was that mutant chick.
Yeah.
it's not a huge thing in the grand scheme of things. It just bothers me that, like, certain personal opinions would influence it, and I'm like, why is no one stopping him or like anyone there to debate him about it?
And the funny thing is, like, from what I understand, he has a good number of the people who worked on Ultimate Alien. Like the previous seasons, like a bunch of the writers are still there. It's just now he has kind of command of the ship. So it's like, no, don't do that. Just do this. Let's change this. Let's change everything that you guys did because I don't like what you did.
Yeah, that's really dumb. Like, I liked the concept of the rooters. And if they had gone with that origin for Kevin instead of the other one, I think it could have been okay. But it makes it messy when you essentially rewrite it all. And apparently I read that they were going to have Agrigor in the episode, and it was going to be explained that he was mutant that they tried to make from Kevin's powers.
Yeah, an attempt to copy Kevin, but it got scrapped, I guess, for time.
Yeah, and I guess that's another thing is that Derek White also really didn't like Agrigor, so that's why we never see him, which I actually liked Agrigor. But oh well. But yeah, there was a lot of good ideas in it, and I liked little touches like giving Kevin his scar that he had in Kevin 11,000 or Ken 10 when he was Kevin 11,000, and the same suit. But then that leads you to believe that he's just going to go crazy and be evil in the future.
Derek Wyatt actually mentioned that he's pretty much that's what he set out to do, is just completely set that back on track. So yeah, Kevin's going to be evil.
But see, the thing is that both, like, the original intent of Ben 10,000, Ken 10, and then the Ultimate Ben episode from Ultimate Alien was just a possible future. Like, even in the episode, I think it was the Ultimate Ben one, Ben asks Paradox, like, is this really the future or something? And he says, well, the future is always in motion, essentially. So it doesn't have to be exact. Plus, in that original Ben 10,000 future, he still had the old Omnitrix prototype. So how's that going to happen? Boom. Lawyered.
Azimuth is like, you know, I really like that old design.
and the one we've seen has that bio-Omnitrix where you can merge them. So I don't know. I just don't like the idea of Kevin going full evil again.
He's
going to
use the original Ben 10,000 timeline, but replace the Omnitrix. Everything else will be the same.
Like, I liked that I liked the original Ben 10,000 timeline better than the Ultimate one, because the Ultimate Ben was a cool thing for an episode, but it takes the fun out of it, I think, when you don't actually transform into an alien.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I like the idea of the general setup of it, but it doesn't have to be exact. Like I said, Kevin was one of my favorite storylines in the last series, and he's probably one of my favorite characters because of it, and I just don't like the idea of them turning him back to evil completely. Like, I like him sort of being a little bit roguish, but it just seems like such a waste of a lot of character development.
I was trying to figure out why they kept pushing the Kai thing, and then I remembered that, oh, he's trying to make Ben 10,000 actually happen, so.
Yeah. Although I prefer her to Julie. I did not like Julie at all. She was so boring.
I don't like either of them. Kai's annoying to me.
Aerosol's one true pairing is Ben and Rook. He just wants them to have a little record.
Oh, absolutely.
Babies.
Agreed.
I'll take Ben and Rook.
Brook forever.
Brook. And I don't know, because like I said, I've only seen past the museum up to the museum episode, so I don't know if they've done anything more, but I feel like it's all but confirmed Spanner is Ben's son.
Yeah, pretty much.
Or at least someone related to him.
I mean, that seems like whiz, because, I mean, I think he even almost called
him dad.
Yeah.
It could be a fake-out where it could just... He's still from the future, but he could just be someone else close to him. He could even be Devin. Or, you know, Kevin's son that he adopted. Just because we've seen Ken in that little, like, screen in that one episode. But I don't know. I remember way back before Ben 10's hiatus, when Spanner was, like, first appearing and he, like, transported to the future, I remember us talking about it. And I said I thought he was going to be involved in that All Ben's crossover. And that never happened. So I was like, maybe he's not from the future. Maybe he just transported to a different part of the city and I imagined it. But he is from the future. So yeah, that'll be interesting to see where that goes. Let's see, what else did I see? The museum episode, there was that really weird episode with the storefront guy but was in love with a fish alien. He's part of the fish cult.
He's Billy. Oh god. Billy Bauman.
That one wasn't too bad. It was better than the other filler we've been getting.
And then there was the one with Charmcaster and Hex like reforming and becoming a professor.
I forgot who he was.
I knew who he was, but like when the scene first started, I was like, is this going to be like another thing where he's not really Hex and he just looks like it? Like, is that they're just going to do an ongoing bit where all the teachers at Gwen's school just look or sound like villains, but they're not them, but it really was him.
That's okay. They said Professor Hex. I thought it was a weird X-Men reference.
Oh, God, it probably is.
Oh, Lord.
Now that I think about it. Because, I mean, Omniverse has been filled with just constant pop culture references everywhere. So I wouldn't put it past them. But I thought it was kind of amusing that, you know, Hex really didn't do anything wrong. He got captured by Charmcaster, turned into that little doll, and Gwen's just like, yeah, now I have control of Hex, but you just take him with you. Here you go. Like, he wasn't a bad guy.
Yeah, well,
he was a bad guy. It's just he didn't do anything wrong in that episode. It's just like, way to screw him over, Gwen.
Yeah, because he really was sort of, I guess, changing, or at least not doing evil at the moment.
She basically, like, tossed him into that other dimension and was just like, well, I have all of your books now.
She just wanted his library. Book jockeys. I seriously love, like, the Parks and Rec bit about hatred of libraries. It just cracks me up. Let's see. Was there any other ones? Because I think those are the only ones I've gotten to watch. And I still have, like, the rest of this whole week's left. I was trying to think if there's anything else I really wanted to comment on that I missed last week. Oh, this is about the same episode with the Hex. Kevin's car is getting destroyed all the time. But did I miss a specific point where he just said fuck it and decided to get a new car that's blue?
I don't remember. Like, when he reappeared and it was blue, so I just went with it.
Like, that's another random weird thing. Like, I always thought it was kind of weird that he would use the color scheme of the Omnitrix, but I guess it made sense because it was his team, and then it became his car, and it was just so tied with him that it seems weird that he's all of a sudden got this new car. And I was like, did I miss an episode, or has it just been so long that I forgot, like, when his old car finally got destroyed, and he's like, screw it, I'm just going to make this new one. This is something the Winchesters would never do. They wouldn't ditch the Impala and just get a new blue car. You don't just do that. But yeah, Ben 10. Oh, I did hear one of my followers sent me a message. It was like this, I don't know like how legit it was, but it was like apparently some sort of press release or not press release, like some information from some sort of writers gathering about the status of shows. And it says Ben 10, it says wrapping up, but like in talks for a future reboot.
Oh yeah, I saw that too.
So,
but whether reboot means like actual reboot or just another season, who knows?
I don't know. Like, because it's such a huge franchise, I was, when they pulled it off, I was thinking, well, maybe they are just going to wait a little bit and then try to refresh it, because Omniverse is awfully complicated in a lot of ways. There's a lot going on. I don't know.
One thing that really bothered me about Omniverse is how much they hyped young Ben.
And yeah, he's never around.
There really hasn't been a whole lot of stories in that timeline.
Like, the first season arc did that the best about it because they kind of tied feedback storyline to it. But then after that, it'll be like quick cutscenes or like something. I think the biggest we got was in that the shopkeeper guy's thing, where we got to see like 5.5-year-old Ben and then 10-year-old Ben and then 16-year-old Ben or 11-year-old Ben, whatever. But yeah, I thought that was going to be a lot more balanced, especially since the specific reason they said they did it is because Kid Ben was the most popular version of the character still. But they think kids would just see him in the intro and be like, all right, we're good. So yeah, I don't know. I'm curious to see where it goes. Like, I hope it comes back in some form. If they do, like, full-on reboot it, like, restart the series with like a new universe, 10 new aliens or redesign. I don't know. I'm curious to see how they would handle it. But I definitely hope it comes back in some form in the next
few
years.
Let's reboot the series with Mad Ben. I just want a bunch of Australian aliens.
That's exactly. And we could find out finally how Australia just took over the whole world and demanded we all sound like them. That's the world I want to live in. Because then we'd all sound sexy.
If it does come back, though, I want new writers.
Yeah.
I want a new head of the show. Cause
I want someone that's not just going to like steamroll everyone else's ideas. But yeah, I'm curious what's going to happen with that and like how legit that was. I mean, I'm assuming, given how big it was, there had to be some sort of talks about it. And part of me was like thinking about it, like maybe they pulled it and, you know, or burning it off the way it is because they want people to forget so that they can reboot it. You know, if it's been so long, like if they, let's say they come out, you know, next fall or something, if they pull the earlier they pull it, the more chance it is for people to sort of forget about the previous continuity before they bring in a new one. So
yeah, it's possible.
Whatever gets me new toys to review, that's the bottom line of all this. Whether it's just a new series called Ben 10 or if it's like Ben 10, whatever extra title is, maybe they're just tired of running out of excuses for why his Omnitrix keeps blowing up. All right. But, you know, sort of like nitpicks and annoyances aside, a lot of the episodes have been enjoyable, and I'm looking forward to seeing the rest of it, and it has been a fun show.
I'm not as positive about Omniverse as you are, but...
I do like, in a way, that they tried to sort of steer certain things back to the direction of the original series, just because I didn't like some of the choices Alien Force made, but I don't like the way they sort of ripped a lot of things out.
Yeah. I mean, Omniverse has its upsides. It definitely has things that are good about it, but I don't know. As we've been winding down here, it's gotten a lot more annoying to watch.
I'm curious to see how it's going to end. I think I mentioned before, like, I'm curious if they set it up to end or if it just ends on an episode.
I don't know. Because, I mean, they're basically just setting up the whole Time War thing, so...
Yeah. All right, what else we got?
I guess we have Korra, if you guys want to talk about Korra.
I didn't watch it.
Oh. It was basically the kids.
It was Adventures of the Air Kids.
Okay. That'll be fun.
And yeah, it was amusing. It was really amusing just to see. It was just the three of them on their own little journey, which was entertaining.
I liked how Jinora and Milo were basically treating Iki like shit after we just had the discussion last week on who the fuck Iki was. So I thought that was kind of fun. And I say this every goddamn week, but I just love the shit out of Toph, like, for real.
Yeah, Toph's a lot of fun.
I feel like a lot of Toph's, well, I didn't see any of her in this episode, but in the past too, like, a lot of her saying, "You're the worst avatar," was just like the fandom saying that. Like, essentially, it was exactly what they're saying, because you're like, "You're the worst avatar I've ever seen. I've only seen one other one, but you're definitely the worst." It's like, that's exactly the way the fandom sounds.
I almost guarantee your dialogue was written for that very purpose.
There was a scene where the kids finally find her, Korra and Toph, and they realize that it's Toph, and I can't remember exactly what Milo said, but he, like, called her an old lady or something. Like, he was being Milo. He was being insulting. And Toph's just like, I like this kid.
Milo's the best. I saw, like, they actually were airing reruns on Nicktoons, and I saw a rerun. It was, like, near the end of the series, and it was just, I came onto it on a scene where like Milo and his parents were just sleeping and the phone rings and he just gets up and answers the phone and goes, "It is 6 a.m. This better be important." I just love Milo. Oh, he's the best. I still think my favorite was, or my two favorite moments were when he put Milo in charge and he just goes, "Those maggots will bow to me." And when he goes, "Look to your left, look to your right, one of those people will die." Oh, Milo.
But Cora's back in business, so hopefully we get to see some.
Thanks, spoiler alert. Soon. I thought she was just going to get more worse and just spend the end of the series. She was just going to end up like Don Self by the end of the series. Or as Aerosol likes to call him, the whore guy. Don Self is such a little, such a little shit.
What do we usually have next on the docket?
The dock.
The dock.
Sounds so official.
That's who.
Oh, the, oh.
Oh, the dock it.
Nice job, Ryan.
See, I do good sometimes. Every now and then. Forests. Yes, that's what it was. I had to think about it. It was a thing I watched with my eyeballs.
I think I probably liked it more than you guys. Like, I don't think it was really great. I thought that it was kind of corny, and I hate environmental messages in general. It just makes me really want to go litter when I watch stuff like that. But I liked sort of the concept of it, like just the beginning concept of just like the whole world being covered in a forest. And just that sort of initial vibe from it. And I thought it had some sort of interesting potential. And I thought there were some funny moments in it that I can't remember, but there was definitely some funny lines that I liked.
I didn't think it was bad so much as it didn't have the same kind of oomph that most of Series 8 has had thus far. But I kind of dig the concept.
I didn't
concept
understand why she had
it.
Powers. Why did the girl have powers? Why could she, like, hear the forest or whatever?
I may or may not have been playing Fantasy Life while watching this, so I cannot say for sure.
It's just a thing, I guess. I mean,
one of those things.
Doctor Who's done that in the past, where people just kind of have random powers.
People the way they special. Talked about her sister, I thought she was dead. It was just like... whatever his name is, Drive's partner all over again. I thought they were dead, and then, like, oh, they were just in the bushes. My bad. The fuck? They looked probably all over town. Didn't even bother to look in the bush in the front of their house. Man, what a bunch of idiots.
I didn't really like this episode. It was not really a whole lot redeeming about it to me, so...
Next one's gonna be interesting.
I was especially just kind of rolled my eyes. I roll my eyes every time Missy comes on screen. The chick
I think
the end of these episodes.
I think the problem with Missy is that we legitimately know absolutely nothing.
She's not built up well.
It's hyped up as this big thing. But like you said, she's not built up at all. She's just this little flicker that we see at the end of almost every episode that matters to the storyline of the season.
Well, it doesn't help that every time we do see her, it almost has nothing to do with what's going on.
Right.
Nothing else in these episodes. Yeah, nothing else in these episodes is building up towards this plot, or at least it doesn't feel that way. You know, it just feels right. Like, well... here's a little hint of what the season finale is going to be like. Like, well, that's great, but can't really call that a mystery. It's just a teaser.
It's like the world's worst teaser at the end of every episode. It's like those Japanese trailer teasers that are just like, movie title, coming, and then it just ends.
Missy, the movie.
The Missy the movie would just be like a 2-hour long movie, in which you're staring at a black screen for an hour and 40 minutes, and then the last 20 minutes is just like a finale.
It's, no, it it's would just be a bunch of people... cameos from other people. And Skull. Skull's there, too.
So stays Skull.
Missing the movie, So Stays Skull.
I think it would just be a movie about a bunch of people just dying and her just welcoming them into heaven. Like, over and over and over again.
But I don't see it on my feed so much as the occasional like YouTube comments, because I watch a couple Doctor Who related videos sometimes, and they're like, "Oh, Missy hype, and who is she? Ah, series." I'm like,
the only time I ever see Doctor Who comments are on the Facebook page, because for whatever reason I liked it, so now I get all that crap sent my way. But and I saw a lot of people who kind of agree pretty much that Missy's just not really well built up. It's just like, this is just some random woman. I actually did see someone comment saying, "So is it Missy or is it Miss C as in Miss Clara?" I'm like, "Oh god, no, please no." Because I feel like that's
full on
something
Michael Scott. Well, she said she chose well. Why would she choose herself? Be dumb.
She was just really like that face. Like, I chose a good face because I am hot.
Whenever I look at any of the comments on the Doctor Who Facebook page, no matter what the post is about, it could be promoting merchandise, the show, it could be anything. The top, like, there's at least three comments that are like the top three most liked that are like, "Bring Tennant back." It's like, yeah. It doesn't matter what they're talking about. They could be talking about, like, cheese bread. And they're like, "Bring Tennant back. 12 sucks." With, like, X's. It's
well,
like...
I mean, even on this post, one of the, like, most liked comments on it was, "Not as good as Bad Wolf." I'm like, god damn it.
Like, why are they still talking about Tennant? It's been so long now. We've had, like, two doctors now. Man. But I still think next week looks interesting. I think the finale weeks will be interesting. I was thinking it seemed weird that like they're starting like saying part one of the finale, just because usually it seems like they're just one episode is the finale. But I guess series 5 and 6, I guess, sort of had multi-parts in a way that led into each other. I was just thinking, I think just series 7 had like a standalone finale.
Well, I mean, the earlier seasons had them, too. Like, I mean, season 3 was, like, a 3-part finale with the Master.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Wow, all I can think is the Vampire Master now. But, yeah, it's just... I don't know why, it just seemed kind of weird to me, but I think it'll be interesting. And then... Like, is this the first... This is the first time in a long time that the series has just aired straight through, and then... It's only like a little over a month, and then we have the Christmas special, and then I wouldn't be mad at, like, you know, after the Christmas special, then it just starting airing again in like August, like it did, and just having that break of like, you know, Christmas through summer, and then just airing it straight through, because I'd rather just get it in one straight shot. Okay. Should we talk about Arrow a little bit?
I didn't get to watch this week's episode because...
I thought you watched it on Sunday.
No, it airs this upcoming Sunday.
Oh, I thought you already watched the... Like, I thought you got a future sneak peek with when Nisa came back. Nisa comes back. Okay, so...
Well, I saw the trailer for...
Okay.
The next
so
episode. No.
We can hold off on that then. Did you get to watch Flash?
I did get to watch Flash.
Okay,
yeah.
So you got to see Captain Cold, and
I was so close.
Brian almost made it.
It's Captain Cold. I called him Mr. Cold when we were talking about him
you
earlier.
Did. I chuckled
I'm like,
a little
bit. That doesn't sound right. But
Mr. Whatever. Freeze, whatever. It's the same guy. Brian just wasn't fast enough.
I wasn't.
Almost made it.
I did get to watch episodes 1 through 3. I was going through Arrow, and I'm like, I was making good pace. I'm like, I need to fucking watch something current before that becomes the next Arrow and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
So I paused my Arrow run to watch Flash, and I was really close. If I wasn't gone so long today, I would have had time to watch it, or if I would have brought my computer with me. But I was really close. But the first three episodes of Flash, I like the way Flash is set up. I dig it. It's set up kind of like Arrow in a way, but you guys mentioned before in the various discussions how because of the explosion and everything, Flash is a lot more of a superhero sci-fi sort of feel to it compared to Arrow's just like, I'm a fucking badass. Look at me shoot Katniss, bitch. Stuff going
exactly
on.
That's what Ollie
Brian's,
said.
Brian's slogan, if he was the Arrow, would be, you have failed this Katniss, bitch. And then he shoots them. Doesn't even care if the slogan doesn't make sense.
True facts have never been spoken.
Wait. Oh, okay, that makes sense.
So I'll be able to chime into the Flash discussions next week.
Hopefully. Next week I'll be like, damn it, not again.
Look, I ran out of time.
Brian's just trying to represent how Barry's late everywhere, or yeah. Was late everywhere before
that,
now.
That's what Jimmy made my life. I don't remember last time I was on time for anything.
Now he just, like, pretends he's late to keep up appearances.
Yeah.
Oh, but I really enjoyed this episode as well. I like Michael Scofield as Captain Cold.
Yeah, I think he turned a villain that really isn't that interesting into something I don't mind watching.
And I thought it was interesting that or at least this is what I got from it, unless I'm completely wrong. But, like, you know, obviously the freeze gun is, like, a weakness physically for Flash. But I think he meant that his weakness was that he protects people. You know, when he left all those people on the train for him to rescue while he got away, even though he didn't get away, he just, like, waited around to shoot him. I thought that was kind of a nice little sort of twist. That you just kind of assume that he's talking about the freeze gun, which is true, but he was really talking about his weaknesses, that he cares more about saving people than catching the person, which, because he saw that both when he first encountered him before he had the gun, when he was stopping the robbery, and then again when he killed that security guard. So that was a nice little twist. And I'm looking forward to seeing him come back with his brother, Lincoln Burrows, and they're going to break everyone's dad's out of prison because they know how to do this. They're gonna, you know, get some tattoos going. Scylla, get Sucre in there. Maybe a little Diaper Bellic. Diaper Bellic will save everyone.
I forgot. Weird show got.
I can't picture Diaper Bellic now, and him screaming up and down, going, "Mom." There's no idea we're talking about right now. Sorry, go ahead. I'm talking too much.
I was just gonna say it was a nice little episode for Cisco as well. Like last week, we had one focusing on
Caitlin,
Ronnie, and I can't think of her name now.
Caitlin.
And this week we got something on Cisco, which I like, and it is kind of understandable. I mean, he didn't really know what was going to come out of this, and
yeah,
so he wanted to be prepared. And he I like that Cisco's not just this comedic character in the background thinking up names, basically pulling
that,
a Mikey. So I like this other layer of it to where it's like, well, now he's kind of responsible for everything Captain Cold does. So
yeah, I do like that he names things though. And I love that he saved the day with the vacuum cleaner and some LEDs. And I just like the scene in general where he's like, you're not going to get away with it, Captain Cold. And then he just kind of laughs to himself. Like, this dude just named me. Like, I thought that was pretty good. And I also like just seeing Felicity on there just because, well, I like Felicity in general, but it just kind of made sense since they kind of had a friendship on Arrow. Even though, like, her exit on the Arrow side felt super abrupt. She's, like, talking to Shaw, and she's like, oh, BRB. Gonna run to Central City quick.
I do like it, though. I like the intermingling between the two shows, and I kind of hope to see a little bit more of it. Not, like, all the time or anything, but it does help to lend to this idea that it is the same universe, and
yeah,
you know, these events between these two shows are kind of running alongside of each other. So yeah, I really enjoy it. So
yeah, there's going to be episode 8 of both shows is going to be the huge crossover episode. But and they said there's going to be little things every now and then throughout, which I think will be fun. Poor Sarah's never going to get to interact with any of them.
To Arrow by episode 8.
Pretty much. Otherwise, you better just quit life and go watch something.
What are they on now? 4?
Yeah, I think this was 4 this week. Yeah.
I might be able to pull it off. We'll see.
You can do it. I believe in you. You can do it. But to be more accurate, you probably can't. but I also really like how Flash is kind of a really nice balance for Arrow right now. In that it's, for the most part, more lighthearted as a whole. I mean, it has moments where it gets a smidge darker, mainly when the wheelchair guy freaks out and kills someone. But it's a really nice balance, in particular, because Arrow is a slightly darker in tone show. I mean, it's got its funnier moments, but it tends to be a little bit more like that, especially right now. A lot of more depressing storylines going on right at the front end of the show. So especially right now, it just makes a really nice balance for it, which I really enjoy. And yeah, the effects are pretty damn impressive for a TV show. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah.
They just, like, completely move on. Well, let's just flash past that point. Flash.
No, I think I'm on, like, a little bit of a delay, so I think you think you're interrupting me, but you're not.
Or it's both.
But, no, I was just going to agree with you. It's a nice little balance between the two shows, because, you know, every Tuesday it's like, okay, let's have fun watching The Flash, and then it's like every Wednesday, okay, let's maybe crawl up in a ball and cry.
Yeah. It should be like reversed, so that Arrow's on first. I almost wish that, I don't know why almost, actually I wish they just aired back to back, just because of when the shows interact. Like, this is not a huge spoiler, but Felicity isn't in the latest Arrow episode until the very end. She's just getting back. So it's like the show, they're running alongside each other, but because I already watched the Flash episode, I just assume she's already back. So, like, it would just make it, like, smooth together easier. It's kind of like when I was watching, except it was almost more difficult when I was watching Buffy and Angel, and they would have a crossover moment. Like, I had to, like, line it up perfectly, because later they were, like, really out of sync. So you had to watch, like, 3 Angels and 2 Buffys, and then it would line up. It's really weird.
Sorry, I don't know why this just now popped into my head, but at a certain point in this episode, we have that little moment where Felicity gets to show off.
She did the knuckle thing.
And it's funny because they have this huge setup. It's like really impressive, all these computers and everything. And then Felicity's just kind of off to the side in this little school desk with a laptop. Like, oh, what? You guys have that big station. I can just do this on a laptop. No problem. I don't know. I thought that was really
neat. Yeah, it was. And I like when she cracked her knuckles and she was like, ow, that was more badass in my head. Love Felicity. It's kind of funny, though, that just in general, they don't really have a Felicity equivalent, like, on her level of, like, tech expertise.
Yeah, because they, like, everyone on The Flash is pretty much really smart. Everyone on that core team. So, I mean, but they're all, like, have specialties in different areas. Because, I mean, Cisco, like, builds stuff and makes things and everybody else does other shit. I don't know.
I think Caitlin's, like, medical. And, you know, the other guy rolls around and he's evil. So, you know, evil scientist. He's, like, looking for a cat to pet, but he's having a hard time narrowing it down. And I also liked how Felicity was sort of able to impart some advice on Barry about, like, trusting his team and just sort of, you know, passing on wisdom from how Team Arrow sort of came together.
Yeah.
So it's still a good show. It hasn't changed. It didn't bomb this week, guys. Brian really missed. We should have, like, really, like, blown out of proportion. Like, it was the best episode, and if you missed it this week, then you're just a loser.
Brian almost made it. You're not wrong.
He's super close. He almost made it to Michael Scofield, but you gotta hurry. He's gonna start getting nosebleeds again soon.
Oh, damn it. I know what comes next.
This is such a little thing, but I do wonder when they're going to make the switch over to calling him the Flash.
Yeah, because I thought that he was going to right away, but
yeah.
In this episode, he like almost said it, but he got interrupted.
And I mean, we have confirmation because that guy's from the future, so he
yeah.
Oh, something I didn't get to mention last week because Kevin didn't watch the episode, but they did a little flashback to when they to when the whole explosion thing happened, and the doctor who's in the guy in the wheelchair says something like, "I feel like I've been waiting centuries for this." I don't know, I feel like that's that line just kind of stuck out to me for some reason. It felt a lot more like foreshadowing than
I bet it's important. Else. I didn't even catch that.
He's
but
probably
I
literal.
That's important.
Yeah, because we know like he, at the very least, has knowledge of the future.
Yeah.
So
he at least gets like a subscription to the newspaper.
It does kind of make you wonder, like, is this guy like, has he done all of this before, or has he like, I don't know, lived that long, or what the heck is going on?
Yeah, like, I don't know, is he been living a long time? Is he from the future? It's like, he's super evil, but it seems like he's also trying to ensure that the Flash exists in some form. He seemed awful happy that he's missing in the future. Is he trying to just, like, orchestrate a really careful kidnapping in, like, 20 years? I don't know. But it's really interesting. And I'm looking forward to seeing how it plays out, and what his motives are. So, wait, did you just have a discussion on The Flash by yourself last week?
No, Kevin and I were talking about the series.
Oh, but he didn't see the episode.
Just in general.
Okay. I was going to say.
Look, I did it. Anyone can do it.
But, yeah, speaking of having discussions by yourself, this is like week 4 of no supernatural discussion because we just can't get it together. Just to say a few things to like the air. I really loved the Demon Dean stuff, and I really wish it would have gone a couple more episodes because I think it had a lot of potential. I'm not like unhappy to see the brothers back together, but I just think it could have lasted a bit longer instead of going right back to the status quo. But I really did like the werewolf episode, and hopefully I'll have someone to bounce off of next week. But let's just face it, Kevin and I are the same person, so Kevin will be here next week and I won't. I gotta go back to the future and make sure Ben and Kai get together. But yeah, Supernatural. Also, my one true pairing is Dean and Crowley. Demon Dean and Crowley. Is there any other shows? Oh, Star Wars Rebels. Just to talk about it for like a minute. Because Brian said you watched all but the most recent one, right?
Yeah, Rise of the Masters or whatever the fuck it was called.
Yeah, but I've really been enjoying it. I think it's got a really good tone to it. For the most part, I like all the characters. I think it's got a lot of potential. I really, really liked the TIE Fighter episode because I just loved the idea that they sent Zeb and I'm trying to remember his names. I can't remember the kid's name. A kid out of the ship, like Ezra. Specifically Ezra, there we go, just so that they would get him out of their hair so they wouldn't cause trouble on the ship. And they send him on this wild goose chase and they wind up stealing a TIE fighter. And it was just all just because they were trying to find some sort of fruit, and they wound up getting it. And I don't know, it was just a super, like, it wasn't like a plot heavy episode or anything, but I thought it was a really good bonding episode for those two characters, and they make a really good, like, sort of duo. And it was just filled with a lot of really funny moments. Like, I mean, like, you did disable the tracker, right? Of course. Which one is it? The red wire or the blue? It's the blue one. Yeah, we totally got that. But it was just a really entertaining episode.
Like, I like it so far as a whole. I never got around to watching Clone Wars, so I can't really compare, but...
They lost.
Damn it.
There's a movie called Revenge of the Sith. It's like the series finale. It got leaked like 5 years earlier.
I watched the finale then.
Oh, okay.
But I like it. It's different, and I can get behind that. It's not at the point where it's like capturing me to where I'm like, oh, can't wait to watch next week. But when I am watching it, I'm enjoying it. It's not like I dread watching it or anything. I wouldn't be watching it otherwise. But I dig what they got going so far. So I'll kind of evaluate at the end of the season.
Yeah.
I
really enjoyed the first two, but three was where I, even though it was kind of just a silly episode, was where I really thought that I could really like the show a lot. But four, which you haven't watched yet, was really good. It was more of a plot-centric episode. I mean, there's not really necessarily a huge ongoing plot going other than the general plot of this era of Star Wars. But it was a really good episode.
I like the general diversity of the characters, too, both in attitudes and species and purpose.
I think it has a really good job of, like, the Clone Wars did a perfect job of sort of embodying the vibe and general setup of how the prequel era movies were. And whereas this one, I think, does a good job of sort of embodying the vibe and setup of how the original movies were, which I think is kind of nice. But I think it already got renewed for a second season, kind of like Turtle style.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes. And I hope it, even if it gets close to what Clone Wars was, I think it'll be good, because Clone Wars ended up being really great. I hope they just bring Ahsoka in so we can find out what the fuck happened to her. All right, I think, is that it for Ramble Time Topics? Have we exhausted them all yet?
I believe so.
Yeah, I think so.
I just want to mention something real quick, because I've been rewatching Young Justice lately, and it's making me sad. Partially because of the stuff that happens in Young Justice is just sad in general, but also because we'll never get to finish it. And I was looking it up, and I don't remember if we ever really saw this, but there was an article that was released a while back stating a reason behind why it was canceled specifically. And the reasoning was that Young Justice was doing better with a female audience than it was with a male audience. And because its target demographic was male, it was considered a failure. So it
really?
Was canceled. Yeah.
I thought it was because of the toy thing.
I think that probably had something to do with it, because obviously, the toy line was also targeted towards boys.
But the toy line was shit regardless of what kind of genitals you have.
Well, yeah. But it was just that they mentioned that in testing, it had a larger female fan base. But, you know, I guess because that's not what they were aiming for, they just decided to axe it. So,
so dumb. Viewers are viewers.
Exactly, right? Because, I mean, really you don't see something like My Little Pony, which has a very large male fan base, like, canceling itself because not all of its viewers are female.
God, that's so dumb. It pisses me off. I usually don't get mad at, like, those male versus female demographic things, but for the canceling for such a dumb reason?
I can't even process this.
I think we mentioned this a few weeks ago, but I'm still mad about that whole situation to this day, just because they have potential to have this really awesome block of shows. God, that pisses me off. Damn it, Aerosol. I'm going to go to bed mad.
I'm sorry.
I was actually thinking about rewatching that a few weeks ago, and then all this Marvel hype's happened, and I feel like rewatching some of Earth's Mightiest Heroes now. I'm still, even though I was like super hard on it in the second season, I'm still upset that I was canceled in favor of what we got. So many bad decisions, man.
I haven't been keeping up. Has Avengers Assembled been doing okay, or is it awful?
I stopped watching it like after the fifth episode or something like that. I mean, I think it got renewed a couple times or once, at least enough that it's been doing well enough for that. But it was just so generic and boring for me. Like, it's essentially just like Ultimate Spider-Man, except without the cutaways. Actually, Ultimate Spider-Man's better. I'll give it credit for that. But I just found it to be terribly generic. Like I mentioned all the time, I really hate when they try to make it in line with the movie. And it just didn't have any of the charm that Earth's Mightiest Heroes had, or any kind of ongoing things that I really cared about. Plus, I missed Phony Stark. So... it's just such a shame. Like, there's so many great superhero cartoons in the last almost decade now that have been canceled for really stupid reasons. Like, I don't know why Wolverine and X-Men was canceled, but Spectacular Spider-Man was essentially canceled just because they couldn't figure out how to fix their shit when licenses were switched over. It was as if they couldn't, like, successfully pass a ball, and the ball dropped, so they said, fuck it. And Young Justice, we just found out, was for a really dumb reason. Green Lantern was for a dumb reason. I don't even think there was a reason to wear the Batman. They just gave up. They canceled it before they even, like... Yeah. I think they canceled it before they greenlit the show, which is weird.
Yeah, because I actually looked up that, too, because I was kind of on a roll looking up canceled shows. And that one, like... Because, you know, the rest of the season is being released on DVD. So, I mean, at least that's happening. If you like that show, you get to watch the rest of the season, but there was just nothing. There's nothing about why it was canceled. And obviously, like you just said, Green Lantern was canceled because it didn't sell its toys well, you know,
that didn't exist.
That toy line that it totally had.
God. To pay for the sins of his father, Ryan Reynolds. but it's such a shame. And Avengers Assemble, Earth's Mightiest Heroes was canceled simply because they wanted to make it in line with the movie look and in line with the Ultimate Spider-Man universe, which I get in a way, but it just seems like such a throwaway.
Yeah.
God,
it just kind of sucks.
Just mad. And Clone Wars was canceled in like the same way Spectacular Spider-Man was when the franchise switched hands. Like, they were already in production of the sixth season. They was like 13 episodes that they were already completed. They put up on Netflix, and they have like 4 episodes which I haven't watched yet, which are like very roughly animated but fully voice acted. Like, they couldn't have negotiated a way to at least finish the season that was already underway. Like, they were so close to the end, they could have wrapped things up. Like, that's super frustrating that they were, like, really close to the finish line. They were like Brian trying to get to the 4th episode of Flash, and they just got canceled. Like, it's like all these amazing animated shows that I've liked keep getting canceled.
And the saddest part is that they're not canceled because they were unpopular.
Yeah, even Ben 10.
Like with the whole Young Justice thing that we were just talking about, if that were the case and it were unpopular, then it would be a little bit more understandable because the show's just not popular. But it didn't do bad. And I know Clone Wars didn't do bad.
I
remember them hyping that up all the time. But
it was Star Wars. How could it not do good? It says Star Wars in the front of it. And even Ben 10, just the brand name, and it was a huge thing. I saw it all over. I always saw kids with shirts or toys, and that was awkwardly handled. the hell, man? The adults don't know what they're doing. Damn it, we're adults. I hate that. But, like, I'd love to, like, spend a day just as a fly on the wall in all these places to know what these people are thinking. Like, because it's always easy to say certain things from the outside, you know, looking at it from our perspective, but so many of these decisions seem really dumb and that could easily have been fixed or handled differently. I just hope there's more good animated shows on the horizon. Like, right now we got Turtles and Star Wars Rebels, which I like. And
you know, thank God Turtles did well and that you know, the network actually acknowledged the fact that it's doing well.
And it just keeps getting renewed.
It's Turtles is doing so well to the point where it just gets renewed, like, at the bat of an eye. And it's taking up an entire fucking aisle in Toys R Us. It's doing well enough on both ends.
That probably means by the fifth season that it'll just disappear off the schedule and shelves, like Ben 10.
It's sad because that is kind of a rare example, like, of the good shows that have existed in the past, you know, 5 or so years. It's like Turtles is the one that managed to get through and didn't get screwed over somehow. And like you just said, who knows? Maybe it will towards the later seasons, but
it's just so weird.
It's all unfortunate, basically.
And there's not really any other good shows on the horizon that I can think of. Like, I haven't heard any whispers of any more DC animated shows coming up. Marvel's pretty focused on their little universe they got going now. And I've warmed to Ultimate Spider-Man a little bit. This season's actually been pretty solid. And I like that it does kind of branch out into a lot of the Marvel universe and explores a lot of obscure characters and stuff. But even that, I'm still only okay with, and it's just kind of sad that there's not even anything I'm hearing about. So it'll be quite a while before we even get anything from Marvel or DC that might be on the quality level as stuff like Young Justice or Smitey's Heroes. Agents of Smash is just terrible. I don't even know how they can run it at the same time as Avengers, because Hulk's on both shows. Actually, there might be an explanation for that, but I only watched the first two of Hulk Smash, and I was Smash and done.
Yeah, I unfortunately caught a couple episodes of that, and that was not good. I am still surprised by how bad the animation quality on those shows are. It floors me, because then you turn around and you look at some of the other animated shows that we have, and I mean, obviously, something like Korra is, like, top-tier animation, but even Turtles and Young Justice was gorgeous. They're all good-looking shows that have effort put into them.
And I like the style of
Agents of Smash, and it's like, I can't get behind this. I can't.
I liked the style of animation that Earth's Mightiest Heroes had, which I think was, like, roughly the same as Wolverine and X-Men. And Spectacular Spider-Man as well, because they kind of had a unique look to it.
Yeah.
We should just make all of the new shows look in the same 3D animated style as the Spider-Man series they did briefly when he's voiced by NPH, where it just looks like PS2 cutscenes. But, oh man, now I'm just sad. They're doing a Guardians of the Galaxy series, but it's going to be in the same line as all those other series, so it's not like the chances of it being bad are stronger than it being good, so I'm not sure.
Well, the one thing I read about the Guardians cartoon was that, like, the main writer, producer, whatever, was like, we understand that despite the fact that the target audience is kids, that kids aren't stupid, and that we need to look at it from a more solidified storytelling experience. So I've got a little bit of faith, but
yeah, like, I'm going to check it out, and I'm not saying it will be bad, but just the fact that it's going to be in the same line makes me nervous.
Yeah, and that's understandable.
It's funny, like, as against Ultimate Spider-Man as I was and how much grief I can give it, it's like the better of the three right now. It's like Ultimate Spider-Man, Avengers Assemble, Eating Garbage, and then Hulk Smash. But yeah, now let's just all take a moment and say your goodbyes. What the hell is this, a rose ceremony? Did I just get eliminated? Fucking Bachelor didn't choose me.
Yeah, you did.
I just made a Bachelor reference. Boom. I watched it. Let's deal with it. Now it's time for...
the Facebook question of the week for now, or it's bi-weekly and it's still something like that.
Boo.
It's the question when
Boo.
It needs to be.
Okay, so last week's question was, what is your favorite, like, beyond Sixth Ranger? Like, anybody that doesn't fit into the Sixth Ranger category, Ranger support, whatever you want to call it. It's just kind of a catch-all for whoever the fuck else.
All them other guys.
All right, so George Hansen Jr. says, my favorite member of Ranger support absolutely has to be Udonna, the White Witch. She, or a white bitch, depending on how you look at it. She had one of the greatest stories of any ranger of any age and dealt with so much loss. The first time we see her, she's picking up the mess and the carnage of her best friends and sister. I think I read that right. I don't fucking know anymore. Udonna is fantastic. People say Nick stole the story, but it was equally hers. Plus, when we got to see her morph, she always brought the badass-ishness. That's a word.
Technical term.
Camille and Doggy are close seconds, but I have to go with the head witch in charge.
Christopher Evans says Ninjor. If thought he was so goofy as a kid, and I love his design and costume. Also, thought his it was pretty cool, and he was kind of his own Zord. I thought it was me. It wasn't.
I get the name that I can't pronounce. I'm just gonna call you Kevin D. Kevin D says
he's like
gonna have to go with the Spirit Rangers. I love their costume designs and the idea behind them. It was great to see Jungle Fury go up against some evil Rangers and have them be original creations too. By the by, point to Dawson for not trying to with my name last time and calling me Kevin Tesseract.
Gary M. Baker says Wolf Warrior because of that sick armor, need figure art blocks, and of course Shadow Ranger because that sword dough.
Jeff Moses says Wolf Warrior was sweet cuss he was bad then turned good and had a good story. Ninja was sweet also, like, I don't know why he capitalized sweet, like it was super important that we knew how sweet he was.
Stephen Ketchum says, let me think. Okay. My favorite extra ranger is probably Jared from Jungle Fury. He was a very interesting character, and his armor form is really, really sexy.
Well. Anthony Ciano says, Doc Kruger. He's a fucking badass. He killed 100 droids in a matter of minutes, and his armor is just badass.
The next plausible answer is Total Gold, who says Jungle Fury Elephant Ranger.
No. Oh, yeah. Okay. So confused.
No. Wait.
Yeah. Edgar Quack says, I like Doggy Krugray. is that Doggy Kruger like merged with Kyogre? Because his face shouldn't work in that suit. Or maybe that guy who was on the RR podcast at one time. That's like three
Chris?
People.
Datus?
Chris? Mr. S?
I'm going to go with Datus.
Antoine?
Next up, Kiefer Martin says, Kruger, he was a great mentor, had tons of memorable lines, had really nice ranger and civilian suits, and O is literally awesome.
Thanks, Chris.
Incarnate. Big words there. No other extra ranger comes close to getting inside his awesomeness circle, So no, they better get off his truck. No one gets inside.
You have to make up for the fact that he misspelled Kruger. I have a possible answer. Corey says SPD Orange Ranger because boom.
I didn't even think about that.
Neither did I.
John Michael Duggan says RJ the Jungle Fury Wolf Ranger. I've been trying to come up with a succinct reason why he's my favorite, but there are just so many reasons that I wouldn't be able to list them all. So the best way I can describe why is simply because he's RJ.
Kevin Phantom Long says, Doggy Style Kruger, 100 girls a night.
Jared Castiel says, Doggy Kruger Shadow Ranger, bro, hell yeah.
I feel like that's like a new version of Super Robot Monkey Team Hyper Force Go. Doggy Kruger Shadow Ranger, bro, hell yeah.
Well, that would be amazing.
And this is a little vulgar, am now wondering why we didn't make any doggy style jokes back when Wizard was airing.
I'm upset now.
Anyway.
Doggy Dragon.
TKD Tigray says, Doggy will always be my favorite badass ranger, but I want to give my answer to the Phantom Ranger. I love that we still can't get over his unknown identity, and so many fan theories about him is just funny. I get lost on these longer comments. They basically dropped him because they didn't have time to give any story. He is loved with no real story of his own. Hashtag best life ever.
Hashtag blessed. Hashtag soccer moms.
Chris Hutchinson says, Jungle Fury Elephant was a fat old guy before Ramirez made it cool. Heart.
Joshua Perry puts a mustard on Marina. It will have to be Shadow Ranger because Kamen Rider Ryuga. Well, obviously.
I don't understand.
Pretty obvious.
Like, I feel like there's a joke, but I don't get it.
Neither do I.
Calvin Kylie says the masked rider from A Friend in Need because I don't discriminate against the black RX, and probably Kruger just because he was a badass talking blue dog humanoid thing with a cool sword.
Derek Zartan says Shadow Ranger.
I'm going to move on to the next one because this one sounds like we're just starting a conversation with someone. Someone's hitting on Calvin. Christian Shear says, so like if Calvin Kylie, he uses his full name, I like that, can say the Masked Rider, then can I say the Ninja Turtles? If so, then fuck yeah, Donatello. If not, then I don't. I'm like, Aerosol, now I'm getting self-conscious about it. I don't know. You really can't get better than the Ninja Turtle. Maybe Sky's dad, the Red Time Force Ranger, because he did so much during SPD.
It's my turn.
Yeah, I know that word.
He was like sad. Shit, Jennifer Lopez's brother. Get us on American Idol.
Kender Lopez gives us another RJ answer, saying that RJ of Jungle Fury. That makes him sound like that's his like family
his royal name.
I am RJ of the Jungle Fury. Because more often than not, he really didn't care and half-assed anything that wasn't a serious situation. He was also really interesting when said situation came up.
Andrew Booth says, the Spirit Rangers from Jungle Fury. They are badass and American. America!
Oscar Picard says, Doggy Kruger because he's from one of my favorite series and he was a badass dog. Also, hashtag Dawson for president. I would make a worse president than a baby.
I was hoping I'd get this one. Chenix Stewart says, I'm going to be different again, say the Manga Ranger.
Yeah, manga, that's what it says.
I misread that, but he did say Manga Defender. And I love the Manga Defender personally. He protects all of my manga for me. So. He is an unusual character, having a pretty dark backstory for PR. Plus, good old Kerrigan voices him. It's like he said when you guys had him on the podcast. You haven't seen the shit I have. Also, I liked how most of the fights amounted to him going, fuck your couch.
Good old manga defender.
His arch rival anime defender is pretty awesome also.
Gary M. Baker says, didn't you answer already? You answered already, didn't you? Yeah, you did. You said Wolf Warrior twice.
Did he forget he answered?
Chris, you answered too. But yours says, what is a Beyonce Ranger?
So he was curious.
I'm curious too.
Chris is from the alternate world where he is Matt Mullen. No, he's Stephen Lunsford asking alternate Matt Mullins, what is a Beyonce Ranger instead of what is a Kamen Rider? And then Matt Mullen just starts singing All My Single Ladies. And it's just really weird. It's a weird timeline. Don't look at it.
So anyway,
where the fuck did that come from?
As for my answer, I don't really have the slightest idea. Like, I like so
many. You're terrible at answering these questions.
I like so many in this category. Like, see, I love the shit out of Wolf Warrior. Like, it's one of my favorite designs out of all of Sentai. But, like, as a character, like, I can't say, like, Leanbo's an awesome ranger. He's amazing. Because he really doesn't amount to a whole lot. But I really dig the suit. But looking at both character and suit, I'd probably pass it to Doggy. Only because I don't fit RJ in this category. Mentally,
yeah.
I don't.
He's, like, in the middle of Six Ranger. He, like, falls into this weird limbo, which makes sense for RJ.
He kind of falls in the same weird limbo that Dino's Hunter Black does.
Poor Dino's Hunter Black.
Where he's, like, he came in early enough to pretty much be main team, but he wasn't there from the beginning, so he's not, and it's really weird. So I mentally don't count RJ in this category, so gonna give it to Kruger, because Kruger is just, he's a dog.
Brilliant.
Yep.
Yeah, like you said, exactly. RJ probably know from listening to this that RJ is my favorite ranger ever, so I really don't need to like justify liking him by picking him for this. So for this category, I would pick actually Wolf Warrior or Korag. I liked him better as Korag. He was more badass. I liked his voice more. Sounds a really, really weird thing, but I liked him better as Korag. But I really did like him overall. Once he turned good, he didn't have as much to do, but I'm kind of a sucker for those main hero randomly gets turned into villain stories. And I overall did like him, and both suits were badass. And I liked the part where Nick's like, you want evil to ruin the world, but not if they don't do it nicely. It has nothing to do with Korag, but I thought the slide was funny, and I wanted to bring it up, so. Fuck your couch, Magna Defender. Manga Defender. Whatever you're defending today.
My choice is the Manga Defender.
Obviously.
I mean, I read so much manga, I can't help but love a guy who's there looking out for me. He's got my back while I read my shit. But no, I don't know, this one's tough. Actually, now that I think about it, I do kind of like the Magna Defender.
If I reverse the spelling, it's also my answer.
Lost Galaxy isn't the best series in the world. We all know this. But I do actually kind of like the story with him and his son and just everything that went on. I actually did really enjoy it.
Certainly better than his predecessor, who was just a bunch of hair. Mike was boring. He was just hair that walked around.
I was so confused.
Did I say predecessor?
Yeah, you did.
Successor.
You said his predecessor was also hair. You're going, I don't think we know who that is, bro.
Successor.
Cousin successor. It was his
Mike, who was he? Was just hair that walked around and he was getting ready to go to a softcore porn movie. That's what he looked like. Him and Zane. We're going to go shoot Spaceballs 3. Zane in the saddle. Mike and Ike, the porn version. Wait, I got it. Mike and Dyke. Zane is the dyke because he looks like a lesbian. Classic Pilo.
Oh.
Where Kevin would give an answer about why Tommy is his favorite.
Well, he'd have to pick
the Black
Dino
Thunder.
Pick something really generic, so I guess what, Blucenturion? No one answered Blucenturion.
Poor
how dare you guys?
He defended old ladies after he got false promises to go home. We'll get you home. Goes back to the command center. Hey, where are the guys went that said they were gonna get me home? Oh yeah, they were fired. How am I gonna get home? Just go fucking monitor traffic. God.
I come with the Millennium Message. You will all be destroyed if this doesn't happen. Plot gets dropped. Okay, yeah, let's go. Now it's time for Final Thingies MP3.
Yeah.
And Kerrigan.
Final Thingies!
I have a thingy, and it's not final!
So, there might be the return of the caption contest next week, which will take place between Facebook questions, sort of an alternate thing. I can't promise, because I can't promise anything. But the Facebook questions will continue. I think I got a few more left in the Power Rangers chamber, and then I might move on to some other things. I might just restart this question line with Sentai, I don't know, but there's going to be I think Villains is the one in 2 weeks, so... Look forward to that if I remember to do it or remember to be here. I don't know. We're pretty messy lately. Keep forgetting people and dying.
Bye.
Pretty well, much I, love a goodbye. Well,
I was trying to think of a way to end it with boners.
Man.
Sorry.
Tough room tonight.
Hold on.
Well, oh, okay.
We'll have to stop when Brian says stop. We're not allowed to talk, but I'm being a rebel. Silence. Brian's taking this very seriously. I don't want to get yelled at.
I was just going to say, I feel like, did your teachers ever do this to where, like, you have to be quiet in class because they just got so upset? And the silence is just so unbearable because you know, like, you know you're in trouble.
that happens to me.
Yeah.
School, yeah.
You got the brave whisper.
No, I needed a piss really bad.
Okay.
And, like, that's basically what this episode was for Brian, just the pissing break.
it was a hold on in the, I am not going to be able to comment, that is why I didn't respond to anything Dawson said situation. So I apologize.
It gives a whole new meaning to the term pissing contest. No? Damn!
But anyway,
Rue.
wait.
You guys didn't do the Facebook question last week?
No,
we didn't.
I feel like Michael Scott when he left so that he would miss inventory and found out that you guys didn't do inventory. The fuck is your problem? God damn it.
We didn't want to do it, so
Son of a bitch.
We didn't.
That was the one silver lining of dying last week.
We can't Kuga this, guys. Come on.